Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Dear Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time together, Father, as a family in this church, Lord Father. Thank you for this time that we've gathered together to give you worship, adoration, and praise, to celebrate 11 years of this church. Thank you for building your church, Lord. Thank you for sustaining your church, as your word says that you will. Lord Father, we just pray and just give you thanks in advance for the many years to come. And this morning, as I bring a word, Lord Father, I pray that you speak through me. Touch and transform hearts, Lord Father. Don't let it be a word that's heard today and forgotten tomorrow, but a word that goes forward and it makes impact, you know, for weeks and months and years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the title of today's message is Growing Older and Leading by Example. So growing older, not something that we usually like to hear. And I feel some type of way, so I'm actually going to change it to maturing. So maturing and leading by example sounds a lot better. So in Psalm 95 and verse 2, it says, "Let us come to him with thanksgiving and let us sing psalms of praise to him," which I think is a very fitting verse for today, where we celebrate 11 years at The Well. It's about coming in, recognizing that this is a milestone. Another year, we've sustained every single day, 365 days of the year, and it's come full circle again to 11 years today. So we recognize, we celebrate, and we're just thankful for another year. So I've split this into like three parts, and the first part, number one, is about, like, it's all about anniversary and birthday and everything like that. But when you hear the word birthday, I mean, for me anyway, the first thing that comes to mind is celebration. So in celebration, I think celebration comes hand in hand with thanksgiving. In Psalm 118:22, and it's actually the chorus of Lloyd's song today, and I had no idea that he was going to do that. So obviously God's working and bringing it all together. But it actually says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." Yeah. So being younger, when you celebrate your birthday, you know, when you're young, you're carefree, or you just sort of just think about yourself. You're excited about your birthday. You know, you're excited when you turn 9, when you turn 10, 11, and so on and so forth. You're just excited. Earlier this week, it was Luca's birthday, Lauren's little boy's birthday. He was 4, and I'm sure he was so excited to let everyone know that he was 4. I remember asking him how old he was. But I think as we grow older, like, we're not so proud of turning older. So, you know, 16 is a nice one, 18, 21, 25, and then 25 again. I'm sort of there. I'm going to have a birthday this year, and I'm just, you know, 25 again. But it's actually quite funny as well, because in the workplace, I've noticed this as well, that, like, whenever it's someone's birthday, no one really says the age anymore. But the question becomes, oh, is it a milestone birthday? So then you're thinking, oh, is it 30, is it 40, is it 50? Or is it just somewhere in between? Nobody really wants to talk about it. But it's really important that we recognise that every single day that's given to us is a blessing from God. Amen. That it's not everybody that gets to see every day. It's not everyone that you saw yesterday that made it into today. So for every moment, it's about recognising and celebrating and being thankful that we have come yet another day. Another scripture is from 1 Thessalonians, verse 16 to 18. It says, "Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances." Even though you're getting older, you're growing older, or maturing, rather, it's about being thankful for all of that. So, and then also, why must we be thankful? Is it a chore to be thankful? But thankfulness is so important. It draws us nearer to God. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. So these men come to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were healed. But only one person turned around and came back and was thankful and said, "Thank you." And this man came back, and he was so excited. He was so happy, because leprosy is a horrible, horrible illness. And he was giving glory to God. So in being thankful for where you're at and what you're going through, or going like where you're at, you are giving glory to God. That is thankfulness. And something, a very common saying that you probably hear all the time is that, you know, go where you're celebrated and not where you're tolerated. If we're celebrating God for the advances that we make and where we're at and, you know, living day by day, it's a celebration of God and it's just bringing a togetherness. God revels in that sort of environment where we're giving thanks to him and celebrating that. So number two, when we think about birthdays and anniversaries, it's a period of reflection, especially as you're getting older. You're looking back on your life. You're looking back on the year that's passed. You're looking back at the years previous, and you're making an assessment of your life today and the very present time. So in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Corinthian church, the second letter he wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, and he says, "Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" So it's recommended by the Apostle Paul that reflection is something that we should all do regularly. Amen. So for me personally, I keep a journal, and I've had this journal for 10 years this year. Not the same book, because you sort of get through it and then you get a new one. Recently got a new one. But what I used to do, I'd write things down. So I'd write down what I was going through, any thoughts that I had, any fears, worries, any hopes and dreams, things that were going well, things that weren't going so well, and I'd write them in. But then I would never like go back and read them. It was sort of just go, 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 go. But God, quite recently, God was telling me and showing me that it's important to stop and think and breathe and sort of go back and revisit things. Then you're going, then you're looking at full circle. So when I was going back and reading entries that I'd written maybe 4 years ago, around a bit this time, it made me sort of understand how far I've come and appreciate the things that I'd been through at the time. And even though things might have been painful, how they have built me up and set me up for today. Amen. So journaling is something that I would recommend. You know, sometimes you don't even know what to write. When I write, I don't know whether I'm talking to God, talking to myself, but it's just there. It's making a record of what I'm going through. And in revisiting that, then I can see what works well, what didn't work so well. And then the things that do, I can use that moving forward. So journaling and examining yourself for reflection is good for identifying patterns in your own behaviour that cause you to come to a certain place. So, you know, looking back on the year, what have your finances been saying? Looking back at the year, what has your physical and your emotional or mental health been saying? You're looking to identify patterns to see, are you always in, is your finances not very good? Are you always in the minus? What specific patterns are you doing in order to cause that? Are you overspending, not keeping the budget? In your health, are you putting on weight? Are you living a healthy lifestyle? Are you exercising? It's all about the identification of patterns. And then the things that work well, you swipe right. And the things that don't work so well, you swipe left. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. But I mean, God did say it's not good that man should be alone. So it's all right. We get it. It's all good. And then the third point, number three, is preparing to make impact. I think a great illustration of this is, and there's probably loads and loads of illustrations, but one that I'm going to focus on is the story of Daniel. So we hear about Daniel in the Old Testament. He's got his own book in the Old Testament, special person. But he lived at a time in the kingdom of Judah. So when Israel was split into Israel and Judah, so he was part of Judah, and the kingdom of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar came and overthrew Babylon and sort of took Judah under siege. And what Nebuchadnezzar ordered was that, his sort of person would go and gather young boys of a certain age to sort of teach them the culture of the way the Babylonians did things so they could sort of carry things on moving forward. So Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which you probably know more often or more, you understand them better probably through the church as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three guys that are thrown into the fiery furnace. So these four characters with Daniel and his friends were a great illustration of faithfulness and not allowing being in a different culture steal away what they had learned from birth and what the truth was and who true God was. So an example of that is that initially when they're brought over into the Babylonians and sort of living under Nebuchadnezzar, they're given a specific diet to eat of like rich foods and stuff. And Daniel was adamant that he wouldn't be eating that along with his friends because these were foods that were given to idols. And if you were partaking in those foods, you were sort of acknowledging their deity as God. And that would be, of course, completely against the one and only true God that we know. So he decided that he wasn't going to do that. And he sort of set up a challenge to the guy that had sort of given this straight instruction. He said, you know what, give us 10 days to try out to do what we know to be right. We're going to eat vegetables and drink only just water. We're not eating the rich food you've given us or the wine. And after 10 days, Daniel and his friends look healthier and stronger than the other guys that were eating this seemingly better food. And in doing that, it's just a demonstration that when you do what you're supposed to do, what God has ordered and instructed for you to do, he's going to show up and make sure that you're fit for purpose. Amen. He qualifies you. It's not the other way around. Like, if he's called you to be in a certain place, he's absolutely going to make provision for you in that place. Another example where Daniel was just doing what he was supposed to be doing was in revealing and interpreting the king's dream. So Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about an image and like bronze feet, and like he just doesn't understand it. So Daniel, God reveals this dream to Daniel, and he's able to interpret it and give it and sort of go and explain what this all means to the king. It's all about kingdoms that are coming after Babylon and all of that sort of thing. And then like the king is so grateful and he's so happy to finally have to have meaning to his dream, because he's actually gone and he's consulted like magicians, interpreters, like all over the Babylonian sort of empire to try and see who can explain this to me. And no one could except Daniel, because he got direct revelation from God above. But he was so grateful to finally get understanding to this, but he actually says and acknowledges that God is God above all gods, above all things, he is God. But it's actually quite funny because a few chapters later, he seems to forget that because he throws the three boys into the fiery furnace. But that's Nebuchadnezzar, and that's just him. But this, in all of this, Daniel really demonstrates, Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, demonstrate faithfulness to God and focus. In Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus tells a parable, which is a story of a rich man who goes away. And before he goes away, he gives his servants like a certain amount of money. Some had more than others. And when he came back, these servants sort of had to give a testament of what they had done with the money that had been given. So the one that had been given the most came back and said, like, you know, master, I've invested this and I've got this much out of it. And the one that didn't get so much said, oh, I've invested this and I've got this much out of it. And then there was one that was given the least of it all. And he said, well, I didn't invest it because, you know, I was afraid or whatever his reasoning was. What had happened, and then what the master decided was that, okay, so the one that has invested and really taken care of what I've given them, I'm going to give them even more. So that's sort of how faithfulness works, and that's sort of that's a bit of like how faithfulness works. Because in Luke chapter 16, Jesus also says that if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful with much. If you're not able to be faithful with even the little that you've given, like the servant that was given the least out of everyone and sort of thought it wasn't enough, what he had was taken away from him. So faithfulness and focus is so key. And I want to bring this back to something that's probably, that's a bit more relevant, or not more relevant, but more real to the times that we live in. So exactly 4 weeks ago today, I'm sure we all heard about Kobe Bryant, the basketball player who passed away tragically with 8 other people in a helicopter crash, including his daughter. And I was watching one of my favourite shows called The Real, which is a talk show is like a panel of very mixed, about five women, but they're all from very mixed backgrounds, like Hispanic, one's Asian, you've got like, you know, black and white, but it's very mixed, one of my favourite shows. And one of the panellists on that show is the girl who was in the show Sister Sister. You guys may remember it from childhood. Yeah, so Tamara Mary, one of the twins in that show, she was on the panel, and she was really emotional talking about, you know, having heard the news just the day prior. And she spoke about having met Kobe Bryant at the very initiation of his basketball career when he was drafted into the NBA and into the Lakers. And she spoke, she didn't say much, but what she said was that, "I just remember him being so kind and so focused." And when she said that, "I just thought of Daniel and his pursuit of excellence. It was all about focus and being faithful over what he had that was so small and working on that craft to make it better." So one of the terms that Kobe Bryant has coined is the Mamba mentality. He wrote a book that's published a few years ago about the Mamba mentality, about like how he plays so well. But it wasn't just about him playing, but it was just about him and his character as a person and always going for the best and, you know, just being the best that he could possibly be. I'm going to read something that he said in an Amazon book review regarding this Mamba mentality. So he said, "Mamba mentality is all about focusing on the process and trusting in the hard work when it matters most. It's the ultimate mantra for the competitive spirit. It started as just a hashtag that came to me one day, and now it's grown into something athletes and even non-athletes embrace as a mindset." And although he passed away tragically at seemingly untimely death, it's just incredible the impact that he's had on people everywhere. Like, I've not watched a game of basketball in my entire life, and I knew who Kobe Bryant was. I remember my mum came home from work, and my mum's like, she's so far removed of like everyday culture, and I was like, "Oh, mum, look, this person's passed away." She goes, "Oh my gosh, I know him." And I was like, wow. For someone to trend like to have impact that transcends beyond America, beyond basketball, like impacting different generations, just goes to show how excellent Kobe Bryant was and how focused he was. And how that even after his death, that's one thing that was remembered by Tamara Mary on the panel of The Real 20 years ago when she first met him. So then we speak about, I said number three was preparing to make impact. We think about why impact. Why is impact important? The title of this message, like I said, is growing older. I mean, maturing. Get it right. Yep, sorry, I will get it right. I'll try. And leading by example. So as days go on and as we move on, like, we're getting older. And the time that you have on here is on the earth is limited. We're not going to be here forever. But when we leave, we are leaving behind a generation. We're leaving behind young people and youth who are going to come up and be that next generation to carry it forward, to keep the fire burning. We're passing the baton over to them. And if you think of this, like, in your personal life, as well as a church, as we're 11 years old today, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like in 20 years' time, but our dream and our goal and our hope is that the same fire that we have in it being about Jesus is still the message that rings true 20 years from now and beyond. And a question that you might have to yourselves right now is like, am I enough to sort of carry this forward? Can I really do this individually, even collectively? Can we do this together? And a question is no. Yeah, like, really, because unless there's a but, it's God that works in us. We have got to be willing vessels for God's power to sort of, you know, shine through. We've just got to be those vessels, willing and able, and it's God's power in us to do great works and to move forward and do great things. So in summary and to conclude, celebrating an anniversary, a birthday, it's about first celebration and thanksgiving, you know, for this gift of life. And then it's about reflecting on the past, you know, acknowledging things that worked well, that didn't work so well, that were painful, that were great and identifying patterns that worked really well and deciding to repeat those, and the ones that didn't work so well, we can just put, you know, throw to the wayside and have nothing to do with them anymore. And then finally, preparing to make impact. And this impact is to lead by example for the next generation, for the young people like Tia and Aaron who came up, and their emerging youth leaders. It's about setting that example and that precedent for them so they've got something solid to follow. So it's our responsibility to hold fast to God and be faithful, even when the culture's coming against us, to be focused so that we're able to make true and powerful impact. So I'm going to ask all of us to, if you don't mind, just rising, standing to your feet. And just for a few short moments, I want us to just like shut our eyes and just think about the things that we are thankful for, the things that we can celebrate, just for a few moments. Manuela, do you think you play softly? Yeah, thank you. And, you know, it doesn't have to be everything. It can be a specific thing or a specific area of your life, whether it's your work, your children, your family, you know, this church. It's just things that you're thankful for, that you want to celebrate. And then I want us all to think about, just be reflective of, in line with what you have been thinking about and what you've been thankful for, be reflective. Has it worked well for you? Hasn't it worked well? Why hasn't it? You know, be honest and be open. You can only move forward when you face that truth. And then finally, I want us to think about the preparation that we're making for the impact that we want to achieve. What can I do? What can you do differently in order to make the impact that you desire? And I want you to think beyond just the church, think in your personal lives. What's the legacy that you want to leave? Who are you passing the baton over to? And how can you continue to be a positive example and lead by example in order to achieve that? So I'm just going to cover us all in prayer right now. And I say, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for this Sunday where we get to celebrate, Lord Father, 11 years. Thank you for the years that have gone, Lord Father, the difficult times, because they've made us stronger. And thank you for the years that are to come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord God, help us to be people of reflection, continual reflection, and be reflective in our own lives to identify the patterns that work well for us in helping us to achieve our goals, and in dismissing the ones that don't. And give us the strength to continue to push through and pursue excellence, Lord, in Jesus' name. Continue to be intentional about our preparation, Lord Father, for impact in a future generation. We give it all over to you. We know that power is from you ultimately. We are just the vessels, Father, that you use. So today, right now, in this moment, we choose to partner with you to move forward, Father, and just leave a fantastic legacy behind us. And we pray this all, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your Son.